Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Beware of false prophets, Jesus says to us in the Gospel. That's his instruction to his disciples at that time and at all times. And let's begin this morning by giving thanks to God for that instruction. Because without it, we might imagine that the Church of Christ throughout the world would be a glorious, easily identifiable, united entity, filling the whole world with a unanimous confession of Christ, with all its pastors and preachers in communion with one another. But that's not what we see, is it? We see dozens and dozens of different doctrines, different confessions, church bodies that divide and then subdivide and then split again and split yet again into smaller and smaller groups. The world laughs at how divided the Christian church is, and Christians often wring their hands about it. They either try to fix it by brushing aside doctrinal differences and trying to come together on the basis of something other than doctrine. Deeds, not creeds, they say, should unite us and should define a Christian. Or they despair and say, how can I ever know who's telling the truth? Why bother trying to figure it out? But the divine author of our faith is the very one who told us ahead of time exactly what to expect. And what he said is what we now witness in the world: false prophets and many who follow them. In fact, if the visible church were not plagued by false prophets and many divisions, then Jesus would be a liar. And then where would we be? And here we're not talking especially about non-Christian false prophets, although there are plenty of them. Here in this gospel, Jesus is warning us about those who call him Lord, Lord, who bear the name Christian, who look and sound harmless, mild, gentle, innocent, intelligent, and sincere, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And so we have the command, not the suggestion, but the command from the Lord Jesus to beware of false prophets. It won't do for Christians to say, doctrine doesn't really matter to me. It won't do for Christians to say, why bother trying to figure it out? It won't do for Christians to say to the Lord Jesus on the last day, you know, Lord, I was pretty busy down there. Never got around to actually checking to see if that preacher was telling me the whole truth or not. I was just a layman after all. It's not my fault I believed him or her in some cases. And if it's a her, you should know right away that she is not coming to you in the name of Christ. Anyway, Jesus, it's not my fault. Blame the false prophet for not telling me the truth. Don't blame me. And you can be sure that the Lord Jesus will blame the false prophet, and even more severely, for distorting his word and speaking in the name of God when God never sent him or her. But he will also blame the one who heard his warning to beware of false prophets and refused to take heed to it. He will blame the disciple who had his word right there and who cared more for earthly benefits than for the word of Christ, who trusted more in the word of man than in the word of Christ. You must have God's word for yourself, each one. Not the word of this or that pastor, or synodical statement, or of this church, or of that church father, or of this diocese. You must have God's word. Your parents can't have it for you. Your husband or wife can't have it for you. Your church, your synod, your diocese, your pastor can't have it for you. You must have it and be able to stand on it before God. And when you have it, then you are never to let go of it, or let it be compromised or twisted or perverted or diminished. Then you are not to sit at the feet of one who teaches it even a little bit falsely, no matter what great earthly benefits you might reap from staying with such a preacher or in such a church, no matter what hardships or afflictions you may have to endure for holding on to God's word. So how do you know? How do you judge? Jesus says in the gospel, you will know them. The Apostle John writes in his first epistle, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And then the test that St. John sets before his readers is a doctrinal test, comparing the teachings of the preacher with the teachings that have been passed down from the holy prophets and apostles. So when Jesus says in today's gospel, you will know them by their fruits, he's talking about the teaching that they produce. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Now, there is something to examining the life and the works of a pastor, of a minister. Ultimately, the faithful preacher sent from God will show his faithfulness in various ways, producing the fruits of the Spirit in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. While the false prophet may have a good-looking life and good-looking works for a while, but his lack of concern for the sheep usually becomes evident, and fear instead of faith will tend to show itself. Fear that outweighs faith. Fear that manifests itself in many ways, but especially fear to stand up for the gospel if it means losing some earthly benefits. And unbelief when it comes to trusting the gospel to do what God says His gospel will do, always trying new ways to bring people into the church that have nothing to do with the gospel. But true prophets have a sinful flesh too, as St. Paul so also says about himself and all Christians, and won't always do the good that they want to do. So judging a man by his life and works should always be secondary. The main fruit of a preacher is the teaching that he produces. Just as the leaves and flowers on a thorn bush or a weed are often just as beautiful as the leaves and flowers on a grapevine or on a fig tree, sometimes more beautiful. You have to look past initial appearances. You have to look past official titles. Look past the preacher's strengths and weaknesses, his personality traits, his niceness, his charm. Look past how he makes you feel. Look instead to the teaching he produces to see whether it is good or bad, Then and then alone will you know if the preacher is good or bad. So what is the fruit Christians are to look for in a preacher? You look for teaching that either agrees or disagrees with what you know to be true from God's Word. And since you are all Lutherans who have already compared the teaching of God's Word with the small catechism, and with all the Lutheran confessions for that matter, and determined that our confessions teach the Word of God purely and without error, you look for teaching that either agrees or disagrees with your catechism. We can summarize those teachings briefly. The Ten Commandments are the first part. They teach what is good and right in God's sight, how to love Him above all things, and how to love your neighbor as yourself. But they also show you that you haven't done that, and so deserve only God's wrath and punishment. The Apostles' Creed confesses who the true God is, one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has made all things, who has had mercy on His sinful, fallen creatures by sending His Son into human flesh and giving Him into death for our sins and for our redemption, who sends His Holy Spirit into the world in the preaching of the gospel in word and sacrament to gather a holy church to Himself by calling sinners to repentance and to faith in Christ and sustaining them in that faith unto life everlasting. Holy baptism also teaches where God first forgave you your sins and made you a Christian, and then the Lord's Prayer teaches you how to pray as a Christian, what to ask for, and what to expect from our gracious Father. Then baptism teaches you again how to live daily in contrition and repentance. As you have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ, with that kind of righteousness that makes you righteous in God's sight, the righteousness of faith, and then how the Holy Spirit continues to renew the baptized in sanctification, in good works, continuing to mold you into the image of Christ. Finally, the sacrament of the altar proclaims the simple truth that the risen Lord Christ now regularly feeds His members with His own body and blood, which are really present with the bread and the wine, to offer and seal to you the forgiveness of sins purchased with the death of the Lord. Now that's a summary of a summary and a necessary starting point. But God has put His whole Word at your fingertips to study and to learn. And the whole book of Concord is a faithful guide so that you can use it to see through the lies and deceptions and falsehood that pass for Christian teaching in our world today. Where you find the gospel purely taught and the sacraments rightly administered, there you know the preacher is a good tree who is bringing you good fruit. Where you find teachings that differ from this, or practices that are contrary to this, there you should not look for good fruit, even if many things the preacher says are right. And where you find good fruit, there you should remain. Where you find bad fruit, from there you should flee. Don't settle for the closest thing possible or for the next best thing. Remain with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Even in this church and in this diocese, I urge you in the name of Christ to continue to test the doctrine that is preached from this pulpit. Because there is no guarantee that a good teacher will ever and always remain a good teacher. Many good trees have gone bad over the ages, and many Christians have fallen away from the truth by continuing to cling to a good teacher gone bad. Does this sound difficult, challenging? Does it sound like hard work? Whoever told you that this was going to be easy? Salvation is free, earned for you by Christ and not by your works. But the Christian life is not easy. It involves denying yourself, as Jesus says, and taking up your cross daily as you follow him. And it's serious business. As Jesus says in the gospel, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The will of God is this, that you should believe in Jesus Christ, whom the Father sent. The will of the Lord Jesus is this, that you should abide in his word and cling to it for dear life. For there God reveals Christ to you and brings Christ to you. There, through faith, you are saved and justified. There in his word, he speaks to you, and he's always sincere when he speaks. There he draws you to Christ and gives you eternal life and preserves you in Christ Jesus unto the end, who has made you this promise. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God is faithful, and God will do it for the sake of his Son. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.